Good morning. The scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians 7, 17 to 24 in the New Revised Standard Version. You may follow along in your own Bible, Bible app, or on page 930 in the Pew Bible. However that may be, let each of you lead the life that the Lord has assigned to which God called you. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but obeying the command of God is everything. Let each of you remain in the condition in which you were called. You are a slave when called. Do not be concerned about it. Even if you can gain your freedom, make use of your present condition now more than ever. For whoever was called in the Lord as a slave is a freed person, belonging to the Lord, just as whoever was free when called as a slave of Christ, you were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of human masters. In whatever condition you were called, brothers and sisters, there remain with God. May God bless the reading, hearing, understanding, and applying of his holy word. Amen.
Thank you, Nancy. Good morning, everyone. Glad that you're here with us today. Today is our third in our sermon series on belonging to God. It's called Called to Belong. And today our focus is on the scripture that Nancy read for us from 1 Corinthians, and our specific title for today's message is The Burden of Belonging. And I would like us, as we get ready to dig into this concept, to have an exercise together. So what I'm going to do here at the beginning is I'm going to call out certain categories by which we might identify ourselves. And if you fit in that category, would you raise your hand, please? This is a way I can see that you've not already fallen asleep in the message. So let's try that. If you are a male, would you raise your hand, please? If you're a male, okay? Good. Put your hands down. If you're a female, would you raise your hands, please? Good. So we're already getting the hang of this. If you are present in church, raise your hand. Anybody absent? No? Good, good. We're all here, right? That's good. How many of you are students? If you're a student, raise your hand. Good. I've got quite a few hands up of adults as well as children that are students. How many of you are non-students? Raise your hand. Could have been a former student, but you're not currently a student. Good, good. All right, excellent. Single. How many of you are single? All right, I see a couple hands up. How many of you are married? Raise your hands. Okay, so different categories there for us. Speaking of marriage, my anniversary is this week. January 25th, Jamie and I will be married 22 years. And she definitely needs your clap of applause for that. How many of you are unemployed? Raise your hand, okay? A couple of you. How many of you are employed? You got a job. Good, good, good. Our final category, how many of you are American? Raise your hand if you're an American, okay? How many of you are non-American? Nobody, okay? So everybody here's from this land. Okay, good. You guys got your exercise going. That means your heart rate is up and then your attention is mine for the next 15 or 20 minutes. What did I want to cover in this exercise? I wanted you to start thinking about life in the categories by which we think of ourselves: single, married, employed, an employer, those kind of things, because making sense of those categories is going to help you to begin to think about what we're going to get into in our scripture about belonging to God. And our scripture today is the third message in this sermon series. What we've covered so far is that when you belong to Jesus, you belong to God. When Jesus is in charge of your life, you have life eternal. You are in his hands and you're safe. Nothing can harm you without him allowing it. Last week, we looked and we saw that when you belong to Jesus, there are great and many benefits to that. You become adopted as a child of God. You're either a son of God or a daughter of God when you belong to Jesus. You have the opportunity to inherit from God all the blessings of his kingdom. And there are just countless blessings and benefits to belonging to God. And I wanted to talk about that with you because as we've done our sermon series from week to week, we see that referenced in even a teaching resource of our church called the Heidelberg Catechism. And if you're here today for the first time, this little booklet is a teaching tool that was created by the Protestant churches in Germany in the city of Heidelberg. This weekend, I believe it's 350 years this has been around. And it's a teaching tool for parents to teach children about the Christian faith, for pastors to teach parishioners. And it's organized around questions and answers. And so the Heidelberg Catechism begins with this question: what is your only comfort in life and in death? What's your only comfort in life and in death? And the answer that they provide for you, and then they build the basis on out of Scripture, is this. And I'd like to invite you to read it with me. Will you read it out loud, please? It says that I belong, body and soul, in life and in death, not to myself, but to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who at the cost of his own blood has fully paid for all my sins and has completely freed me from the dominion of the devil, that he protects me so well that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, that everything must fit his purpose for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. It's a great answer. We could spend a lot of time unpacking all of those phrases there about he so perfectly protects us and keeps us that without the will of God, not even our hair could fall from our head. That's something to explore. But today, I want to talk about, even the catechism acknowledges when you belong to God, it is a source of great comfort to know that you're in the hands of the Lord. But then that ought to raise a question in our mind. Why are many, many people resistant to belonging to Jesus Christ? Why aren't people rushing in the doors to give their life to Jesus Christ? Well, I believe the answer is that belonging to God has a sort of a burden to it, a weight to it. And many, many folks are not willing for that burden to be theirs. And I want to explore that with you this morning, and we're going to do that by looking at our Bible text, which is from 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians is the title of a letter written by a church leader, Paul the Apostle, to the Christians in the town of Corinth in Greece. There were people there that recently gave their life to Christ. They recently became followers of Jesus, as Paul was the church planting pastor. And so Paul had been with them for quite some time, teaching them about what it means to live as a Christian, what does it mean to belong to Jesus, and what's the implications of our life. And then Paul went away to continue doing ministry in other areas. And 1 Corinthians is Paul's effort to continue to influence this congregation by his writings. And we're going to look at this section this morning. Paul is in this letter addressing things that people wrote him about. In this letter, he is also addressing things he heard about from the guys that delivered the letter. And so if you read this letter in its entirety, he covers a lot of different topics where this church has started to lose its way. But here in the seventh chapter, Paul has some pretty interesting things to say about belonging to God. And I wish I had the time to walk you through the entire chapter, because it would help you to see Paul is addressing people in different categories of life. And he's addressing, what does it mean to be a Christian when you're married? What does it mean to be a Christian when you're single? What does it mean to be a Christian when you own other people as the master? And then what does it mean when you are owned by people and you're a slave? What does it mean to belong to God? And how does it impact our life? Well, we are not going to get into the entire chapter, but this section, verses 17 to 24, there are some things there that I want to teach you about what is the burden that we have when we claim we belong to God, and why some people don't want to accept that burden. So let's begin. First of all, I'm going to put up on the screen belonging and direction. When you belong to God, where do you go for your direction? And we're actually reading the very first verse of chapter 7. We're not starting in chapter 7, verse 17. We're starting at the very beginning, where Paul writes, "Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is well for a man not to touch a woman." What I want you to see is this congregation, the men and women who lived in this town of Corinth, who were called themselves Christians, knew they belonged to God. They knew they had given their life to Jesus Christ. He was preached to them as the Lord and Savior that they needed to repent and believe in to have eternal life. And they did. And so now they are wondering, what does Jesus want me to do? They understood that when you belong to Jesus, part of your job is to follow the shepherd. You're the sheep, he is the shepherd, and part of your job is to follow the leading of Jesus. In fact, the scripture that we used a couple weeks ago when we began this sermon series from John's own gospel, Jesus said these very words, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That part of being a belonging to Jesus is you're one of his flock, and your job is to tune in and listen and head in the direction he wants to lead you. But what do you do when Jesus is not physically present? He was not physically present there in the city of Corinth. He is not physically present here today. But his voice is still heard. And it's heard through the men that Jesus appointed to be his leaders, his apostles. So these Corinthians write to Paul, a duly designated spokesperson for Jesus, and say, what does Jesus want us to do? So belonging is about seeking direction from Jesus through his proper authorities. Let me elaborate that with a little bit of an illustration. As we know in this room, there are some here that are married, there are some that are single, some that are students, non-students, all of us, whatever our status, if we are a person of faith, we belong to Jesus Christ. And belonging to Jesus Christ is a lot like going in the military. You can be married when you enlist in the military. You can be a single person when you enlist in the military. You can be someone with an education, like a college degree, when you enlist in the military. You can be someone who just barely got out of high school. But whatever your status is, once you enlist in the military, you belong to Uncle Sam. You are a different person. And whether, again, you're married or single, your job is to do what your commanders tell you to do. Now, your life might be a little bit different because you're married or whether you're single, but you both are enlisted into the service of our nation. Well, in the same way, when you become a Christian, you are responsible, as a soldier or a sailor is, to get your orders from your commanding officer. When you become a Christian, you are responsible to look to Jesus Christ to give you his orders. And you do that by looking to those he appoints. That's why we study the Word of God here at Eden Church. This isn't John Roberts' ideas. I'm mainly a spokesperson for the commanders who wrote Scripture, who speak for God. And my job is to help make sure you understand what it is that Jesus wants you to do. So belonging involves guidance. Who is guiding you? And here's why many people don't want to become a Christian. Because the burden is you are responsible now to do what your commander says. You are responsible now to obey Jesus. And there are a lot of people out there, they don't want to obey Jesus. They don't want to have anybody in charge of their life. They want to be in charge. I want to call my own shots. And you can't do that when you're a Christian. Jesus said, no one can be my disciple unless he gives up all his possessions. It's a surrendering of ourselves to Jesus. And that's a burden that some don't want to bear. Oh, but when you do belong to Jesus Christ, it's worth it. It's so much worth it. What you gain is much greater than what you have to give up. But I want you to understand that belonging and getting guidance, that's an important part here. That's a burden that people who belong to Christ bear. And that's the first burden. But the second burden is belonging and assignment. What is your assignment? And this is the very first scripture of the text that Nancy read for us this morning, where Paul writes, however that may be, let each of you lead the life that the Lord has assigned to which God called you. This is my rule in all the churches. Now, right away, I want you to note something. Paul says, this is a rule, and this is a rule that he gives, and it applies in Corinth, it applies in Philippi, it applies in Ephesus, it applies in Edwardsville. If you are a Christian, this is a rule from one of God's spokespersons, an apostle, to you. What exactly is this rule? Each of you lead the life that the Lord has assigned to which God has called you. Basically, what this means is that we are to see our status. We're single, we're married, we're black, we're white. We see our status as something that God has assigned to us. We are where we are for a reason. You are a woman because God made you a woman. You are a man because God created you a man. You are a Caucasian person because that's how God created you. You're African American because that is who you are. You were born in the United States because that's God's sovereign design for you, just like other people are born in other places. You and I are to look at our life and take stock of where we are and understand that we're where we are because of God's sovereign will. And so what Paul is talking about here in this verse is for people to look at themselves and their circumstances through the lens of God's sovereignty. So I'm going to invite you, if you want to open your Bibles, we are on page 930 in the Pew Bible, the one in the seat rack in front of you. But I want to just give you some context. We're going to start at verse 17, and we're going to work our way down to verse 21, and hopefully you'll see what I'm getting at here. So Paul says in verse 17, however that may be, let each of you lead the life that the Lord has assigned to which God called you. This is my rule in all the churches. And then now starting in verse 18, he's going to explain himself. Was anyone at the time of his call, that's the time you became a Christian, were you already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Now you're like, what? What is this a reference to? Well, circumcision is the identity of being a Jew. And what he's saying is, hey, if you were Jewish and then you heard about Jesus and you became a follower of Jesus, you don't have to stop being Jewish. That's who you are. That's the identity God gave you. Flourish in that identity. And then he goes on to say in the next sentence, was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. And what he's saying is, hey, if you were a Corinthian and you were a Greek, you don't have to become a Jew now to belong to Jesus. Stay where you are. That's your status. So what Paul's saying here is it doesn't matter your ethnicity. What matters is that you are responding to the call of Jesus Christ and you belong to him. Your job is not to change who you are, but to accept who you are. And then Paul says something here in verse 21 that could be a little controversial to some people. He says, "Were you a slave when called? Do not be concerned about it. Even if you can gain your freedom, make use of your present condition now more than ever." So here Paul's talking not just about people's ethnicity, but he's talking about their economic status. In the Greek world, the Roman world in which the New Testament was written, large numbers of people were slaves. And some people were free people, and some were free people who owned slaves in their town. And so as the message of Jesus Christ spread, people heard the message. Some people that were slaves heard the message and became Christians. And so now the question is, okay, I'm a slave and I'm now a Christian. What do I do? I'm now, I'm a master and I have slaves underneath me and I'm now a Christian. What do I do? And so Paul's instruction here is if you are a slave, don't be concerned about your status. Serve. You're on assignment for God. God has allowed you to be in that environment, so be his servant there. Now, this may sound kind of odd because we Americans, we value our freedom. We value improving our status. And what Paul is saying is start where you are, look at where you are, see it as this is God's will for you, and serve him well there. That's a different mindset than most of us who say, I want my life to improve and I'm going to go over here because it's going to improve me. Maybe we need to stay where we are because that's where we need to best serve the Lord. Let me give you a good example of this. You guys know about St. Patrick, right? St. Patrick was a priest, a missionary to the Irish. He's the patron saints of the Irish. He's the one responsible for the green beer, you know? You're paying attention still, right? It had nothing to do with green beer. Did you know that Patrick, when he was a young boy, was captured by the Irish and taken into slavery? He was a Christian young man captured and taken away to live in Ireland as a slave. You might not know the rest of his story, that Patrick escaped and got back home and then began to have a burden for the people that had enslaved him. So he voluntarily went back to Ireland, went back to the people who enslaved him to live among them. Why would he do that? Because he was concerned to share Jesus with them, and that was more important to him than his status as a slave or as a free man. He was driven by a different priority because he belonged to Jesus. And that's what I want you to see. The default, Paul says here, is to stay where you are. Maybe this is where you need to be right now in your workplace, and it would be so much easier to take that job and move somewhere else. And I'm not saying you can never do that, but before you do that, ask yourself, am I where God has me? Am I serving God on assignment for him? That's what Paul is alluding to here in this concept of belonging to God. And frankly, it's a burden for a lot of people. It's much easier to move where it's easier and happier and more beneficial to me, but maybe I don't need to live that way. Instead, as one who belongs to God, I need to be somewhere else where the focus is not about me, but about the other person. As I mentioned earlier when we did our categories, we talked about being married and being single. In this whole chapter, Paul is talking about the issue. It'd be easy to say, I'm not happy in my marriage. I'm out of here. I'm going to go find somebody else. But Paul says, hey, wait a minute. When you belong to God, that's not your option. You need to be thinking about the other person, not your own happiness, but theirs. How do you serve them? How do you care for them? Because you're not focused only on yourself. Or if you're a single person, Paul says, make living for God as a single person your priority. Now, that doesn't mean you can never get married. That's a freedom. That's an option. But don't feel like you have to. Serve God where you are Accept your assignment. This is the second burden of belonging to God. Now, the third burden has to do with your identity, belonging and identity. And I want you to think about this verse with me. It's up on the screen. Paul writes, "For whoever was called in the Lord as a slave is a freed person, belonging to the Lord. Just as whoever was free when called is a slave of Christ." Now, it may seem like Paul's trying to be clever here in his wording of this text, but he is saying something very, very profound. He says, when you belong to Jesus, it impacts your identity in every facet of your life. Let's look at the verse here and think about what he's trying to say. He says, for whoever was called in the Lord, so whoever became a Christian as a slave is a freed person belonging to the Lord. Now, what does that mean? You're a freed person. How can I be a slave for Kathy and still be a freed person? Well, because I'm different. Because I know I belong to Jesus Christ. I know I matter to God. So now I don't see her as a problem. I see her as someone that God has called me to serve and love. And so maybe before where I despised her because I didn't like her telling me what to do, now I can't wait to serve her well because I see value in her and I want her to know the love of Jesus Christ too. And so I'm a different person as a slave. I'm a freed person because there's something going on inside of me that she has no influence over because I belong to Christ. Now, if you keep on reading the text, it elaborates that just as whoever was free when called, now I'm a free man and I become a Christian, I'm now a slave of Christ. So I'm not totally free. I can't do whatever I want to do. I'm still accountable to my own master, Jesus Christ. And that means for Kathy, as if she's a believer, she has to be a different boss of me as her servant. She has to see me not as somebody beneath her whose job is to live for her best interest, but she now has to see me as someone she wants to know the love of Jesus Christ. She's going to love me and treat me differently because her identity is different. Again, what I'm trying to say here, this one verse is so worth reading and reading and reflecting on. Our identity as a person who belongs to Jesus Christ is radically affected in every aspect of our life. So if you're a married person, you're going to be a different spouse to your husband or your wife because you are living for Jesus. If you are a single person, you're going to be a different kind of single person because you are seeing your life as an opportunity to serve God more faithfully because you don't have to deal with children and all the needs of a home and so forth. That's all there in 1 Corinthians 7. If you're an employee, you're working for someone, you're kind of like the slave here in the text. You're going to be a different employee when you belong to Jesus. You're going to see your boss, not just somebody that you just want a paycheck from, but you're going to become invested in who they are and their well-being and their knowing God. And you're going to be a different kind of employee because you want to earn the right to share your faith with them. Or if you're the boss and you have people working for you, when you belong to Christ, you're going to be a different kind of boss. You're not just going to use the people around you to fill your own pockets and to bless your own success. You're going to see them as men, women, children, families, people you care about, that you are concerned not only about your well-being, but also theirs. Again, when we belong to God, that knowledge, that identity changes every aspect of our life. And that's what I want you to think about. That is a burden. It radically transforms us. And again, some people don't want that. They don't want their lives to be radically changed by Jesus, and they don't belong to him. They don't surrender to him. But I want to speak to each of you today here. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you belong to him. And you need to understand what that means. It means, first and foremost, that you go to him for guidance and direction, that you let Jesus direct your life, not by doing what you want to do, just live your life and go your own way and let your conscience be your guide. Don't do that. Your conscience can lead you astray. You go to the Lord Jesus and his designated spokespeople in the Word, and you let this shape how you're supposed to live. Secondly, you see your life as an assignment for God. Whether you're retired or whether you're working, whether you're a student in school, God has you in your school to be his servant and to serve him. Look at your classmates and your teachers differently because you belong to Christ. And finally, our identity is radically affected. So let belonging to Jesus be the first and the foremost thing that you let to define who you are. Will you bow with me as we close our sermon in prayer? Lord God, I want to thank you for all that we have when we belong to Jesus. There are so many blessings and benefits, but Lord, I believe in many ways we fail to live as people who really belong to Jesus. Forgive us when we've gone astray, and help us to anchor ourselves in men and women who, as the scripture says, have been bought with a price. Lord, may we all in our lives find our identity ultimately as men and women, young and old, who belong to Jesus. And Lord, if anyone is struggling with their assignment, they are wrestling in their marriage, or they're wrestling in their job, or they're wrestling in their school, I pray that you would speak to them and encourage them and help them to see what it is you want them to do to be your servant wherever they are. Lord, thank you for choosing us and allowing us to belong to the Lord Jesus. If there's anyone, Lord, who are listening who do not yet belong, I pray that you would stir their hearts and get them to think and to wrestle with what it means to belong to Jesus, that they might find that our greatest freedom is found when we surrender our life to the Lord. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.